Blog Talk Radio.
I hate you both. I've hated you ever since I can remember. I hate you, and I wish you both had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, in the head.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Tell me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late.
And now the host of the Stupid Cancer Show, Matthew Zachary.
Monday, March 16th, and we are once again live on the Stupid Cancer Show, The Voice of Young Adults with Cancer. We are your friendly neighborhood weekly social webcast, finally giving voice to nearly 5 million young adults affected by cancer. This broadcast is a program of the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation, a national leader in the fight against cancer, working exclusively on behalf of survivors and their care providers under the age of 40. Got cancer? Under 40? Sucks, huh? Well, get busy living, because the Stupid Cancer Show is on the air. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, my friends, because we are here to change the world one chemo infusion at a time and share all of our collective craftness. Now, call me a hippie, but do not call me a victim, because I don't believe that change is possible if you never disrupt and challenge the status quo. I am still here, you are still here, and this is why we fight. Forget the cure. That's right. You heard it here first. Forget the cure. Survivorship is all that matters. Last week's show, Young Adult Clinical Trials 101 with Hannah Vogler from the Colon Club, Deborah Vollmer-Dahlke from the Texas Clinical Trials Network, and Ellen Coleman from Emerging Med. And on tonight's show, celebrating survivorship with Daniel Schneiderman, young adult testicular cancer survivor, actor, writer, producer of the one-man show My Left Nut, A.G. Ali, young adult co-survivor and advocate, producer of the Survivor Celebration song and founder of Survivor Celebration, and Fran Kandrek, young adult cancer patient advocate and co-founder of the website WhatFriendsDo.org. Alrighty. So hello, my friends, and welcome to another.
You okay, bud?
Yeah, sorry about that. Another fun-filled and exciting Rumps in the Hand tonight, Stupid Cancer Show, and a Stupid Cancer welcome to all of our first-time listeners here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, coming in live from the Chemo Deck, our studio in downtown Manhattan. I'm your host, Matthew Zachary, 13-year young adult survivor of brain cancer. Joining me live in the studio tonight are our chief cancer anarchist, Mr. Jack Buffard. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
Oh, what a deep, sultry voice.
You're welcome.
Oh, my pleasure. You make every evening fabulous, except Monday.
I've been told that by numerous people.
Okay. Anyway, Jack will be monitoring our live, concurrent, interactive chat room, so if you have something to say, feel free to say it. He might not listen to you, but I will, and all that other stuff.
No, I listen to them. They don't listen to me.
Okay, whatever it is. I just lost my place here.
Chemo brain.
Yep, exactly. But feel free to ignore Jack in the chat room like the women do.
Not just in the chat room.
And, of course, welcoming to the show, as always, my lovely and fabulous co-host from the windy city of Chicago, the lovely, talented, and spectacular Carol Rosenthal. Good evening, Carol.
Hello, Matthew.
How you doing?
I'm doing really quite well.
And you are en route to New York City, if I'm not correct.
Envy tomorrow. I will be en route to New York City and am so excited to do a serious radio show with you. I think it's going to be a blast. You and Jack.
Now, that could be taken two different ways.
It could. I was offended by that. Is this not a serious radio show?
Yeah.
Oh, I think she meant serious satellite.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think she meant a serious satellite radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because that show is entirely serious.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Anything with Jack on it, of course. All right, let me wrap up here, and we'll get back to our chat. So welcome, my friends, to the Stupid Cancer Movement, because we're here to stay, and the couch is comfy. We're not just about the quantity of your life, we're about the quality, too, because there's more to the cure than just research. For better or for worse, change comes slowly and only from within, because the need to cure cancer for Gen X and Gen Yers, whatever that winds up meaning, is only coming from within our own ranks. So are we on our own? Well, I say that if we're the generation that invented Google and Facebook and kept Sanjaya on American Idol all those weeks, we should be able to take care of our own. This is Generation Cancer, and it's our fight. We have the sheer numbers, the voting power, and the influence to change the rules, because remission is not an excuse for a cure, and survivorship is all that really matters. Are you in? Because the time is now. It's time. It's our time, and it's about time. Donna Martin graduates. And now the news.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Cancer.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Alrighty, during this part of the Stupid Cancer Show, we allow Jack Bouffard to impose his worldview on our listenership by announcing worthy news stories to our Dorian listeners to inform them about the latest and greatest in young adult programs, services, events, and projects. If you have something that you would like to hear broadcast during this particular segment of the Stupid Cancer Show, please fax it to us at 646-861-2565 or email Jack Bouffard at jack@i2y.com. Take it away, Jack.
Thank you, Matthew. Leading off, first of all, I'd like to send a very happy birthday wish to our friend from the Omen Fund, Allison Ward, Matthew. Her birthday is today.
Allison Ward. Happy birthday, Allie.
Happy birthday, Allie, and best wishes in this new year. I'd also like to send a Stupid Cancer welcome to our new friends, Melissa from Long Island and Mark from New Jersey. Melissa will be starting her Stupid Cancer treatment this Friday. And Melissa, to you and your husband, I say, welcome to the club nobody wants to be a part of, and you will rule over Stupid Cancer. Moving on to the news. The I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society are proud to present the 2009 Oh My God Summit for Young Adults, Monday, May 4th in New York City. The Oh My God Summit provides attendees with valuable resources specific to the needs of young adult patients and survivors. Check out the OMG website at www.omgsummit.org. The pre-registration process is underway and the conference is limited to 175 attendees. There are slots left, so please register now. OMGSummit.org. Seattle, Washington. Are you looking for a support group to partake in? Well, put down your latte and pay attention, because the Leukemia Lymphoma Society is here to help. The Young Adult Support Group will meet on the third Monday of the month for the next 6 months, beginning today, March 16th. To pre-register for this free group, log on to www.lls.org/WA. Contact Stacy Martin at stacy.martin@lls.org for more info, or you can call Stacy at 206-957-4583. Des Moines, Iowa. The Survivorship Connection is being held March 28th, 2009. And Matthew, I believe you're going to be at this conference, correct?
Yes, they're twisting my arm, but I'm actually going to go to Des Moines, Iowa.
Matt would do anything to go to Des Moines, Iowa.
That is true.
Topics for this conference include long-term effects and why they matter, insurance, how to get it and how to keep it, fertility resources, personal relationships, socializing, networking, and who's out there, employment, and college, getting in, getting money, and getting through. For more information on this, you can go to www.childrenscancerprograms.com. Again, that's Des Moines, Iowa on March 28th, and Matthew Zachary will be there. To my friends in Los Angeles, the UCLA Live Strong Survivorship Center for Excellence is proud to present their Cancer Survivor Education Day, Saturday, April 4th at the UCLA Convo Commons. Join us as we discuss the latest research on survivorship issues and provide valuable information specific to the young adult cancer community. The $10 admission fee includes lunch and snacks, and for more information, head on over to tickets.ucla.edu. To all you fans of Tamika and Friends, take a step against cervical cancer by voting for Tamika Felder, young adult cervical cancer survivor, advocate, and friend of I2Y. Please visit i2y.com/Tamika. That's i2y.com/TAMIKA to be redirected to a Facebook cause page where you can vote your heart out. Be sure to scroll down the page to the Lead Out Loud section to cast your vote for our friend Tamika. Attention Maryland, the Omen Cancer Fund for young adults is proud to present their Screw Cancer Happy Hour series. There's a Screw Cancer Happy Hour in Columbia, Maryland this Wednesday, March 18th. And for more information, visit omenfund.org. That's ulmanfund.org. St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow. And if you're planning on spending the day drinking for the cure, feel free to spend your happy hangover day with Stupid Cancer on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. This Wednesday, March 18th, from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I2Y founder Matthew Zachary, Stupid Cancer Show co-host Carol Rosenthal, and your chief cancer anarchist, me, Jack Bouffard, will be the featured guests for the oncology show on SiriusXM's Dr. Radio. Matthew, Carol, and I will be in studio discussing the young adult cancer movement while raising awareness to our age-specific needs with hosts Dr. Abe and Dr. Sylvia. Carol will be discussing her new book as well, and your calls and comments are welcome. You can find SiriusXM's Dr. Radio at www.sirius.com/Dr. Radio. Speaking of Carol's book, Everything Changes, The Insider's Guide to Cancer in Your 20s and 30s. This newly released book is written by our very own Stupid Cancer co-host, Carol Rosenthal. Everything Changes dusts the sugarcoating off the young adult cancer experience, and it is packed with gripping stories and an unprecedented collection of young adult cancer resources. Everything Changes is available wherever books are sold. You can visit this site, the book's website at everythingchangesbook.com. St. Louis, Missouri. Achieving Recovery from Cancer to Health Childhood Cancer Survivor Retreat Weekend is being held at the Perry Marquette Lodge in Grafton, Illinois, this Friday, March 20th through this Sunday, March 22nd. Young adult survivors 18 to 30 years old and who are 2 years removed from treatment may attend this free weekend. For more information and to apply, contact Lisa Matola at area code 314-454-4635, or you can email Lisa at lmm1321@bjc.org. Hey, Long Island, come to the first official Stupid Cancer Do Something fundraiser. Stupid Cancer Do Something is being held at Mulcahy's of Wantagh, 3232 Railroad Avenue in, believe it or not, Wantagh. The $45 entry fee not only helps support the Stupid Cancer movement, but gives attendees a great buffet dinner complete with open bar. Scholarships will be offered to survivors in treatment. And for more information regarding our inaugural Stupid Cancer Do Something event, head on over to events.i2y.com. Next up, we have Camp Make a Dream. Camp Make a Dream's Ovarian Cancer Retreat is being held April 30th through May 4th. And their Young Adult Survivor Retreat is May 13th through the 18th. Camp Make a Dream retreats are held in Fabulous, Montana. And for more information, please refer to campdream.org or call Camp Make a Dream at 406-549-5987. Next up, we have 70k.org. That's the word 70, the letter K, .org. There are approximately 70,000 people aged 15 to 39 diagnosed with cancer every year. For over two decades, there has been little or no improvement in survival for this age group. By signing this bill, you are supporting the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Bill of Rights to be established as a standard for care to meet the needs of this underserved population. Moving on to cancer care programs. The young adult groups that are active and running at cancer care are Living with Cancer in Active Treatment, Life After Cancer, Post-Treatment, Young Adults Loss of a Parent, Young Women with Breast Cancer, Young Adult Individual Grief Counseling, Young Adult Caregiver for All Diagnoses and Relationships. Contact I2Y friend Julie Larson at jlarson@cancercare.org. That's JLARSON at cancercare.org. Or you can reach Julie by phone at area code 212-712-6173. Live on, sperm bank it by mail for cancer patients. Don't do what I did, guys. Mailing sperm without a live-on kit is frowned on by our federal government. For more information on sperm banking by mail, please go to www.liveonkit.org. I'm sorry, that's a .com, liveonkit.com. Live sperm banking by mail is made possible by our good friends at Fertile Hope, and I would personally like to send a big thank you to the law firm of Dewey, Scroom & Howe for clearing up my embarrassing situation with the United States Postal Service. And last, but not certainly not least, Matthew, we have Matthew Zachary performing at Lincoln Center. Well, not really, Matthew. It's in the neighborhood of Lincoln Center.
Near Lincoln Center.
I tried. I can't lie to the public. I'm sorry. But an evening with Matthew Zachary on piano, Saturday, April 11th at 7 p.m. This concert will be at the Kauffman Center and Goodman Recital Hall on West 67th Street in New York City. There are only 100 tickets available. Tickets are being purchased as we speak, so get your tickets now. You can get a general seat for $20 or a VIP seat for $40. For more information on this evening with Matthew Zachary, please go to www.matthewzachary.com/NYC. And that, my friends, is the Stupid Cancer News.
All righty. Jack Buford with the Stupid Cancer News. So, Carol, just getting back to you, I think we have a bit of a serendipitous week coming up because not only are the Holy Trinity of the Stupid Cancer Show doing the show tonight, but we are, in fact, going to be on a serious, serious satellite show this Wednesday. This is your first time on Sirius?
This is my first time on Sirius, and I'm very serious about Sirius.
Well, we're going to apparently christen you as an official radio broadcast person, celebrity guest something, by having you in a little tiny vacuum-sealed incubated studio.
I love being in the real radio studios, you know, the ones with, like, the big mics hanging in your face. And
similar to the one Matthew and I are in right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I instead am in my living room on the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, honestly, you might find it interesting because every time we're in there, it's literally in the lobby of NYU Medical Center's main foyer. So it's almost like you're an ant farm, and people are walking by staring at you, perplexed that there could possibly be a radio show broadcasting out of the main hallway of NYU Medical Center.
Not what you usually see. That's understandable.
So it's funny when people press their bodies up against, and this is in no way a sexual reference, but people just literally, like, they do that Ferris Bueller, I think I see my dad head thing against the window.
The head thuds.
Yeah, the head thuds. It's quite the social experiment. I'm really excited that you're going to share that with us.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
And are you also in New York City for business as well?
Well, I'm in New York City for all kinds of business. I'm in New York City for my book business, and I'm also in New York City for some serious cancer business. I have my six-month checkup at Memorial Sloan Kettering. So, at last check, I had two tumors hanging out in my neck on my jugular vein, and I'm going to be checking on the status of those. So I've been writing and blogging a lot lately about worry and what the hell to do with your worry when you have a test or a scan coming up.
Well, here's what you do when you worry. That's what you do when you worry.
Thank you for not playing that during the Live On Kit segment of the news.
You know what's so funny? Actually, I come from this family that's like a long, long line of worriers, and I was blogging about that today. I have a blog post on the Glamour website, on glamour.com, and I shared it with my dad, and in addition to saying that I have family, they're all quite big worriers, I was saying that one of my remedies for worrying is eating copious amounts of raw cookie dough, chocolate chip cookie dough, oatmeal cookie dough. And my dad emailed me back saying, be careful, there are raw eggs in that, you might get salmonella.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. My wife, I don't know if she's in the chat room tonight, but my wife always yells at me when I eat raw cookie dough because she thinks there's raw eggs in it. Unless you make it in your own house, there's raw eggs in it. And I only learned this from watching Alton Brown on one of his food channel shows. Apparently, whenever they make any consumable product that sits in yes, Jessica, 10:15 p.m. Thank you. She's in the chat room asking you what time to pick me up. And any time that there's some consumable product that sits in stores that contains any egg product, such as, you know, like cookie dough, for example, or these biscuits, they radiate everything, not like cancer radiation, but they irradiate them in a way that kills all the bacteria before they pasteurize it. So there may be raw egg. And I love how I'm substantiating the need to eat cookie dough, like to justify it to my wife and your father. But at the same time, there is no threat of any more, like, salmonella, you know, raw eggs and stuff like that.
Well, I love that I finally found a way to, like, overcome this vicious worry that is instilled in me by my family. And the only thing my dad can say is, like, watch out for the salmonella. Like, you needed something else to worry about?
You know,
but anyway.
One could argue that if you're eating raw cookie dough, salmonella is probably the least of your problems.
And
yeah.
Coming
I think
from it, someone who eats a whole container of frosting, cake frosting in one sitting.
Well, from someone who's got two tumors in my neck, you know, salmonella ain't that much compared to the tumor.
No,
so,
you're doing great. You're doing great.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, we shall continue our cookie dough conversation. I'm sure it's going to be great banter for the cancer survivor people that are coming on our show later. But I want to first turn to our first guest. So,
what time is it?
All right. My first guest is an actor and testicular cancer survivor from Toronto, Canada. It is nationally acclaimed one-man show, My Left Nut. He candidly describes his experience being diagnosed with the disease and how he managed to turn this life-altering news into something positive. The performance is bold, honest, and full of humor. His goal is to raise awareness about the disease, advocate the importance of self-exams, and to provide inspiration that it's possible to overcome difficult challenges in life. My pleasure. Welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, all the way from Canada. Hey, Daniel Schneiderman.
Hi, Matthew. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good evening, my brother. How
Welcome
are you?
Welcome to the show, eh?
Yeah.
Hi, thank you.
So let's talk a little about your story, and then I know you want to read us a monologue from your show.
Yeah, I got a segment prepared.
Yeah,
so,
how were you diagnosed?
Well, I was just showering one day, and I noticed a lump, and it was definitely something that was unusual. It was a tiny, hard lump, and I definitely thought, okay, this was different. And luckily, I didn't wait around, and I called my doctor right away and had it checked out. And it turned out to be cancer.
Is testicular cancer ranked by stage?
Yes, there are different stages. I, you know, fortunately was sort of like stage one. I was lucky that I did catch it early enough that it hadn't spread, you know, beyond the testicle. That's why, you know, I definitely try and advocate the importance of early detection and early diagnosis. So, you know, you could catch it before it gets any worse.
And did you have I don't know what the right term is, a testiclectomy? That's not what it's called, is it?
I had it removed. They took my ball. So.
Did you get to keep it, like in that movie Tomcats?
I didn't. I thought maybe I would, but you know, once I was out, boom, I didn't have a chance to say goodbye or ask if I could keep it. So.
You know, I said the same thing about my brain tumor. I don't. It's probably sitting on a shelf somewhere, right? Must be.
I don't have it. What are you looking at me for?
I'm looking at Jack like, Jack, where's my brain tumor? Come on. What'd you do with it?
I once had a body part of mine presented to me in a jar when I didn't ask for it. And let me tell you, that is an unwanted gift.
Well, I guess it would depend on the part, no?
Perhaps. Was it an unwanted part or a wanted part?
It was a part. It's one of those parts that you don't even know you have until someone plucks it out of you with a knife and then shows it to you floating in a little glass jar. You got to want to ask for those kinds of things in order to see it. You know, it's just, they can't just present it to you unless you ask.
Oh, I'm being told here in the chat room that it's called an orchiectomy. I still think testiclectomy sounds much cooler, though. Jack, your thoughts?
I have no thoughts on this.
God, I've stumped Buffard. That's pretty amazing. All right, Dan, well, I'll tell you what. Let's tell us a brief history of what inspired you to write the one-man play called My Left Nut, which I love the name. It's very
sure.
Different.
Thanks.
And then just sort of charge full ahead into your monologue.
Sure. Well, basically, it was inspired from emails that I sent out to my friends and family, updating them on my progress and what was happening. And a lot of people thought it would be a great idea to make it into a show. And once I decided to get involved in the community, it kind of made sense as an actor to engage an audience and tell my story.
Now, do you want like soundtrack music for this? We could play like Knight Rider underneath. I'm totally kidding.
That would be great. Yeah,
I could just hum along.
Yeah, Jack's gonna give you some background music. Hum some John Williams, Jack.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, fair enough.
Star Wars? You want Star Wars?
Yeah.
Or
we'll play the Bill Murray version of Star Wars from Saturday Night Live. That one. That'll be very appropriate background music for Dan's piece here. All right, sorry, Dan. We're having too much fun here. Without further ado, by all means, is this from the beginning of the show?
This is going to be the moment that I was told that I had cancer when I met the urologist.
All right, well, you're up.
I met the urologist, and he said that based on the ultrasound, based on the way everything looked and felt, based on my age range, all signs indicated that it was cancer. You have cancer is probably one of the most dreaded phrases in the English language, and people go to all lengths to avoid it. They have a strict diet, they exercise like crazy, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they try and live in a completely non-toxic environment. And you know what? That stuff is great. We should all be striving to do that. But then there's one tiny factor to contend with, and we all share it. And you know what it's called? It's called life. That one tiny factor that screws up all the odds. I mean, most of us think we're invincible, right? I mean, cancer, come on, that's something that happens to old people or dogs. Well, look at me. I was young. I was fit. I felt totally healthy. And it's not like I didn't eat my broccoli or talked on my cell phone too much or whatever the latest cancer-causing myth may be. The fact is, in this game of life, you simply never know what cards you're going to get dealt. Sometimes, no matter how prepared you try to be, life has this funny way of jumping out and just kicking you in the ass. Or, in my case, it jumped out and kicked me in the balls. He told me they would have to remove the entire testicle. I said, fine, sign me up, do what you gotta do, let's get this out. Because that's how I naturally react in situations. If there's a problem, fine, what's the solution, let's do it, let's not panic. So, I didn't have a problem with him taking away my right testicle. Now, if the doctor came in and said, Mr. Schneiderman, it appears we'll have to remove your penis, then I would have been a little nervous. He told me, if you'd like, you could have a prosthetic inserted. It may be a little larger than your old one, and in cold weather it does tend to get hard. Now, we need to know right away so we could order it. I was like, what do you say to that, right? Do they come in brass? I don't know. I guess I never considered how important my balls meant to me. I mean, some guys really define their manlyhood by two things, the size of their wallet and the size of their package. I guess I never really defined myself that way, and I thought about it. And I mean, aesthetically speaking, there's no way to really improve the nutsack, right? I mean, it's pretty unattractive to begin with. You know, God got pretty lazy when it got around to the balls. He was like, oh, we'll just put this in this sagging, hairy sack. That'll do. I mean, no one's walking around going, man, I wish my balls looked like his. Yeah, look how round those are. Oh, those must be fakes. And I figured with one less ball, it would only make Captain D look bigger, if you know what I mean. So, hey, I may only have my left nut, but when life decides to jump out and kick me in the balls again, I've got a 50% chance it'll miss. Always look on the bright side. There you go.
All righty.
Well said.
I love it, man. That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff, man.
Thank you.
And you're going to like high schools and colleges. You're all over Canada.
I started touring it last year, mainly to high schools, but also to different cancer organizations and cancer retreats. I've been involved with Young Adult Cancer Canada, based out of Newfoundland, which is a great organization for young adult survivors.
Yeah, that's the 9-foot-tall Jeff Eaton group, right?
Exactly, yeah. Jeff's a great guy, so I've been on their retreats a couple of times, and so that's a great organization. And, yeah, my goal is to to definitely keep going to high schools, because the typical age range is 15 to 35 years old, so I wanted to get it out to that young audience. So I hope to bring it across Canada and hopefully maybe into the States one day.
Very, very cool. Very cool. And how can people get to you? What's your website?
They could go to my website, which is danielschneiderman.com, and they could find out about the show and about the other acting stuff that I do.
Well, congratulations, my friend. You're making us all look bad by being so creative and interesting.
Well, thank you. It was great to be on the show. I think it's great what you guys are doing, and I look forward to listening.
We'll keep in touch, man. Good luck to everything.
Thank you very much.
All right. For sure. Thank you.
Daniel Schneiderman, everybody.
Bye. That was good.
That was great.
That was really good.
Really good stuff. All right. My next two guests are the co-founders of Survivor Celebration, a lifestyle movement inspiring and educating and empowering cancer survivors and their families and family members and friends across the country. Survivor Celebration reaches people across the U.S. through social networking websites, events, music CDs, and other products. Later this year, launching a book and a TV show. Let's talk about that. The book is about our journey, their journey, through cancer as a couple. The Survivor Celebration TV show is a 30-minute weekly show that will start airing in 2009. Please welcome returning champions to the Stupid Cancer Show, AJ and Jane Ali. You with us, guys? How you doing?
Ooh,
how you doing?
We're here.
You like that? Good applause.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you are our returning champions, but I'll give you guys the stage to tell us how you got into this crazy mess.
Well, thanks for having us back. Sounds like you guys really had a ball the last segment.
Oh, my God, that gets one of... Oh, I don't have it. I don't have a little... Wah, 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 wah!
Hey, now.
I'll read that. Or this one.
Hey, now.
There we go. Okay, fine. Hey, now. You got your sound clip out of me. You happy?
Yes, I am.
So, Jane, you had breast cancer.
Yes.
And how recently was that?
4 years ago in April.
Oh, come on. You could do better than that.
4 years in April. Woo-hoo!
And congratulations to you on surviving stupid cancer.
Thank you.
And most people don't know this, but we have a shared little karma connection through the LA Music, the fabulous overrated LA Music Awards.
That's right.
Very cool.
Fabulous overrated LA Music Awards.
Yes, indeed. So tell us a little about how you were diagnosed, what your treatments were, and how you guys got through it as a couple, and what was it that sort of gave birth to the Survivor Celebration movement?
I was exercising one day, and I found a lump myself. My doctor, who just said, let's take it out, not knowing that it was cancer, and of course you get that a week later, it's cancer. I had two surgeries, chemo treatments, 8 chemo treatments, 38 radiation treatments, wonderful supportive husband, put me through all of this.
And lots of family and friends that like to celebrate life every day, so we kind of followed their lead and said, we're going to fight this thing, but we're going to fight it through having fun and love and learning as much as we can. And Jane really picked up on helping other people while she was going through it, helping them just celebrate every single day. And it might sound a little corny to look at things that way, but that's really what helped to carry us through.
It was a lot of laughter.
A lot of laughter.
Maybe would put on my wigs and we'd go walking around town.
Maybe they don't want to hear about that, dear.
We got lots of laughs.
And
Andre wigs.
Very cool. I mean, I've sort of kibitzed, and that's a Yiddish word for like, I've sort of henpecked at you a little bit for, because, I'm not a huge fan of pink, but I love the fact that you were able to turn that into your RV campaign that you're driving around.
Right.
What was that like? Was it anything like that bad Robin Williams movie?
Yeah.
Worse. It was nuts.
It was
didn't have a lot of funding. Literally landed in New York City with like $50 and a bunch of CDs and a big giant pink bus, and we had to sell CDs to make our way across the country. We'd go to truck stops, and you know, we'd go to, hey, there's a crowd, let's sell CDs so we can buy lunch.
Right.
But it really, seriously, we had to do that in order to get from New York to L.A., and the good people of this country that bought CDs, they allowed us to get home. We learned a lot during that journey, and every time we thought we were helping someone else, it turned out that they were helping us too.
This CD that you're talking about, tell us a little bit more about that.
We had 12 songs. It was a compilation CD. I wrote the first song for Jane when she was going through chemo, and I just wanted to write something nice for her to inspire her and cheer her up. And a few people heard it, and a couple people say, you know, you really ought to do something with this. And so it just kind of, other people started to say, hey, I want to put a song on a CD with you. And we wound up having 12 songs on a CD that features some really great jazz and other artists. And, you know, before we knew it, it was done. It was a project, and it was out there on the streets.
Very cool. And were you singers or songwriters prior to, or was this something that you, or was this like a hobby before, and you this inspired you to write the album?
Well, I'm a writer, and I'm a great shower singer. I did some background vocals on this track, Through the Darkness Into the Light, but I wrote it.
He's a wonderful singer.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
That was weird.
We haven't gone anywhere.
Okay. And so, I'm a professional writer, but most of the time I keep my music to myself and publish other things. But this time I had to get this out there, and a few people like it.
Well, we're going to cut away to a clip. This is the actual title song called Survivor Celebration, right?
This is Through the Darkness Into the Light, the lead track on the Survivor Celebration CD. And I got to send a shout out to Nora Payne, who did the female vocals on this and did a wonderful job.
All right, well, let's take a listen. This is Through the Darkness Into the Light. Is that the actual name of the song?
That is.
All right, well, here we go.
Thank you.
All righty. Look at that. Get a plus for that, too. So how did you put together this CD? You said you were working with other artists, or you wrote all the songs yourself?
Nope, just wrote the first song, and then we had other artists that contributed music. Marcus Johnson, who's always has charts, and I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me, and Gordon Chambers, who's in New York City, had a song called Still Blessing Me that's absolutely incredible, and Antonio Soul, who's the vocal guy on Dancing with the Stars, and some other folks just submitted some really great songs and donated them, and some of them even performed at some events that we did.
Well, congratulations. Really a noble project. I did want to talk a little bit about this television show that you said you have coming out.
Yes.
What is that, and how did you get that to happen? Where can we see it? What's the kind of content? What channel is it on? Lots of questions. All good.
Well, we just shot the promo, and we're getting ready to do the pilot. We actually have a couple of deals that we're looking at right now with in relation to national cable as well as local affiliate channels. So it's not going to be on the air until later this year. We're going to cover organic foods and healthy lifestyle, fitness, inspirational stories from survivors. And, you know, it's going to be a show that's a half-hour, weekly, inspirational, educational, and empowering show to help survivors. We started doing things through breast cancer, but we're really focused on all types of cancer now and helping survivors not only survive but thrive. So Jane and I are going to co-host that, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, if you ever need some comic relief, we've got Jack Buford here anytime.
Yay!
You want.
I do have a face for radio, but I couldn't make a television appearance.
That's true.
We'll be calling on you.
Cool.
I'm not singing in the shower for you, though.
That would be a pretty picture.
Exactly.
No, actually, it wouldn't.
So, and this is going to be streaming through your website, you said.
Yeah, streaming through the website as well as local affiliate channels and national cable. So we're really looking forward to it. Got a lot of great segments planned. We've got chefs on board that are going to make some really exciting and fun and healthy and tasty dishes. And Jane's going to do some equine stuff because she rides horses. I'm going to play golf with some celebrities, and it's going to be a great time.
Well, congratulations. I think that's really, really, really just incredible stuff. And do you, you know, as you continue to move on, I'm sure that your network is growing. The SurvivorCelebration.com website, you know, what kind of membership do you have these days?
We're somewhere around 300 at this point, and we're getting ready to do a big push. We haven't really done a big marketing push yet, so that's coming. As part of the, you know, the TV show and other things that we're doing. So I'm hoping that we're going to be in the thousands sometime this year. I know you guys are playing in the big league, so we won't get up there with you guys anytime soon, but we hope to definitely grow it and make it something special for a lot more people.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think what you guys have done is emblematic of this new generation of the way survivors are using the internet to give back, to share their stories, and to, you know, I always like to say that my definition of cancer advocacy is to ensure that the next you doesn't go through the same crap that you went through. And I think that you guys are clearly doing that through very innovative strategies.
Thank you. Well, thanks. We love just visiting with you and coming on your show. We thank the world of you and all the great work that you guys are doing. We want to send a shout-out to one of the people on our website, Suzanne Lindley. Been amazing. We call her a miracle worker. She's one of those folks that's on there every day and blogging and reaching out and just giving e-hugs to everybody she comes in contact with.
Yeah, she's amazing. She was actually in my breakout group at the Livestrong Summit. She's a phenomenal individual, and anybody who's on her email list would know how wonderful of a woman she is.
Right. Good. Cool.
Well, yeah, all right. Well, I mean, so what do we have to look forward to? Are you guys still touring at all, or is it the focus solely on the TV show now?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jane won't let us get anywhere near a bus. Can't even near a bus stop.
You're all RV'd out, huh?
Oh, definitely. After staying in truck stops, I'm RV'd out. I'm trucked dropped out.
But the book that we've got coming out, the one that's going to come out later this year. In fact, we're going to be speaking at a conference in May with Suzanne Lindsay's group. The book is going to be called All Aboard the Big Pink Bus. We're going to talk about that journey and talk about all the crazy things that happened, and you know, talk a little bit too about one of those things that you love, which is how everybody seems to slap a ribbon on things and, you know, and get out there and sell them and make that money. But where's the money going? Usually it's not going to help anybody except for their bottom line.
Yeah, the fabulous tongue-in-cheek love-hate relationship with Pink. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming back on the show. We'll continue to have you on. And I just wish you both all the best of luck with everything. And don't ever hesitate to call or click. Or just show up one day in New York, and we'll have a great lunch together.
Great.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Jane and AJ Ali, everybody. All righty. My second guest tonight, Fran Kandrak and her daughter Amy, founded the website whatfriendsdo.com. Fran discovered that being a computer software guru, having lots of friends, and a knack for organizing things, along with looking at the cup half full, were the perfect ingredients for keeping the spirits up for a dear 25-year-old battling brain cancer. The outpouring of love through thoughtful and helpful things and lots of off-the-wall silly things impacted the lives of everyone involved, and from that, the whatfriendsdo.com website was born. Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, Fran Kandrak.
Hello, Matthew.
Am I pronouncing that right? Is it Kandrak?
You got it. Perfect.
What? Oh, very cool. Well, welcome to the show.
It happens too often. I'm really glad to be here.
I know that Carol's been pumping iron in terms of doing her R&D on you, and I know she's very excited to have to speak with you and has some questions for you. So I'm going to turn it over to Carol.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, Carol.
So why don't you just tell listeners a little bit about your site, just a brief overview, and how it came to be.
Okay. Our site, What Friends Do, is a place for people going through any life-changing or difficult event, but mostly cancer, can create a team which incorporates all of their friends and family into one spot so they can do their blog, their guest book, and a calendar to keep track of all the ways everybody wants to help. This came about several years ago when my daughter's best friend was diagnosed with brain cancer. And Laura had been part of our family since the girls were 5, and she was diagnosed when she was 25, so we definitely weren't very close. And Laura was a real upbeat, fun person, and we just thought, you know, what on earth can we do to help this journey? Because she obviously had good doctors, and they were going to do all of the medical stuff. So we were sending out emails to keep everybody informed of what was going on, like everybody always does. And then about Christmas time, we were thinking, gosh, you know, after the holidays, there's always a letdown. And that's natural, even with the best of things going on in life. And how on earth do you deal with January when you've got brain cancer? So we decided to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. And this was just a totally off-the-wall thing, but that's just the way my brain seems to work. So Christmas morning, there was a surprise package left on Laura's doorstep, and it was a bottle of pear juice, and it had a note that said, on the first day of Christmas, Laura's team gave to me sparkling juice from a pear tree. So the next day, she had a surprise package of 2 turtles/doves, and so it was full of chocolate.
And somehow this turned into a website?
It turned into a website. So we kept doing this for the next year, just doing silly things on a regular basis because Laura was loving it, and she was looking forward to each day because she never knew if she might get a surprise. And we had about 200 people participating in these things. On National Popcorn Day, Laura got popcorn from all over the country. So it's silly stuff, but it was amazing the impact it had on Laura and her family, and even more so, these 200 people participating,
they all just felt this amazing spirit. And at the same time, I was taking a class at my church about your gifts and are you doing what you're supposed to do in life. And it all just kind of came to me that I had the skills and the creativity to build something that could help lots and lots of people have a better journey like Laura had.
And how do other people use the site? So say that, you know, I'm a patient and I have cancer. What's on the site for me?
Well,
hypothetically speaking, of course. I am a patient who has cancer.
You are,
what's on the site for me?
You've been on your journey for a long time, but you can create a team and all of your friends and family all over the world would be on your team. So you've already got a blog going, but that's what someone would use our site for, to create their blog, to talk about their journey, but also for their friends to be able to give guest book messages. And I know you probably know this very well, that if it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep, you just get a lot of energy from reading your emails and your blog comments from all of your friends. People that are already technologically involved like you are, it gives them a vehicle to do that. And it has a calendar to coordinate the help that they might need, such as meals, which everybody always thinks of, let me bring you dinner. Well, that's not necessarily helpful. So the calendar lists the type of help the person wants.
You know, talk a little bit about what people do need. I remember interviewing somebody for my book, and she said, you know, everybody asks me what I want and what I need, and I've had breast cancer for 6 months already, and I still don't know what I need. What does somebody with cancer need? She had no idea what to even ask for. So do you have suggestions on your site of what it is that people need, and what do you find that people need most often?
We do have a lot of suggestions, Carol. And a lot of things we do are the everyday routine things, like helping clean out your refrigerator or helping with all of the yard work in the spring when you've got all the yard debris, or planting your flowers, really just everyday parts of life, because our attitude is that the person with cancer needs to focus their energy on cancer wellness, on getting their body healthy. And so it's the everyday tasks that someone else can do so that the cancer patient can also enjoy life, because someone who doesn't have cancer still has to clean their house and all that stuff. But when you've got cancer and you're faced with all those things, then you might stop and say, when do I get to have fun?
So what do you say to somebody who is not so keen on accepting help? You know, not everybody wants to receive help, and sometimes friends want to give help when a patient doesn't necessarily want to be the center of attention. What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, we tell people to respect the feelings of the cancer patient, because they're the one that matters the most. And if they are uncomfortable with the help, then it shouldn't be forced on them. But our surprises and our cheer things, we find that even people who think they don't need something like that, they find out that it really takes them to a different place within themselves that they didn't even realize, that those things really do make a difference. We say that we can't change the outcome, but we hope we can change the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And even Laura's mom, who we started this for, she's a person who was very much a very private person, wouldn't need help, wouldn't necessarily want friends around. And she said it just changed her whole perspective. She never realized that about herself, of what a difference it did make.
So tell me a bit about, on your site, I saw that there's sort of like a PayPal side to your site. Do people ever use your site for fundraising, or what's the monetary exchange that happens there?
The PayPal thing is something that a team can set up, and the funds would go into a bank account that the team designates. So typically it goes to the patient. We've got, especially with a lot of young people, they may not have insurance and they need help with their medical bills or help with just their day-to-day bills because they're not working. And we do have a lot of teams, set up a team specifically to be able to do that, because it's a place all the friends can be pointed toward to say, here's where you can make a donation, even $10 will help. And all of that money goes directly to the person. It does not go to what friends do. It does not go through us at all. It goes directly through PayPal to the individual person.
That's fantastic. I mean, it is so sad that we live in a country where people have to have, you know, bake sales and yard sales in order to support their chemo and to get enough money for co-pays for their drugs, but it's true. And that's an incredible way of creating a system where people across the country and around the world can help contribute to somebody's well-being.
Well, you know, we've read different things that say that people that go through cancer pretty much isolated don't necessarily have as positive an outcome as those people that are surrounded by lots of love. Now, it's hard to really measure that because
that's not something that's ever really been proven in a quantifiable measure. It's more
right,
of,
but maybe it's more just a perception. I mean, our Laura did not make it. She died, and she was surrounded by wonderful love, and even up to her very last week, she was surrounded by lots of people with parties. And,
right, and what you know, what I like to say is those kinds of feel-good experiences might not change the quantity of someone's life, but it's a choice on whether or not that's a quality of life that you want to be surrounded by people and to be receiving those kinds of things.
We also, you know, we send out a monthly newsletter, and we really stress helping to nurture the caregivers too.
Mm-hmm.
But they're along that journey just as much in a different way as the cancer patient. And so we really try to stress on nurturing them as well as the patient.
Tell me a little bit about how your site is different from an organization, say, you know, Lots of Helping Hands. Are you familiar with Lots of Helping Hands?
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Tell us about how your organization is different, or why would you direct somebody to your organization?
When we first started out, Lots of Helping Hands was a calendar, and that's all they had. They have since grown into a few more of the different things that we include. What makes our site really unique is all of the tips that we have for people. We have a section called What Friends Need to Know, and that's full of information of what you need to know, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. We have our cheer section, which we think is a really, really strong.
Hello? Are you with us?
Oh, I'm sorry. I am. Our cheer section is a really, really strong section of our site because it gives people ideas for what to do when you're not sure how to approach someone, or you haven't seen them for a while, or you live on the other side of the country and you really want to do something. And we're not talking about just giving gifts because that gets real old. But even ways to, you know, send a note or what to say to somebody. And we think that is a really unique part of our site. And we're kind of trying to be a one-stop shopping for the friends as they nurture.
Great. And, yeah, you know, as we wrap this up, I think the last question that I have for you is about, you know, I have noticed in my own care that it really helps when I'm not the main point person. So I'm not having to sit on the computer and schedule my friends, because it's really hard day after day asking other people to help contribute to your daily needs. And it was so much easier when somebody else did that communicating for me. Do you find that the leaders of, I don't know if you call them teams on your site, or coordinators, do you find that those are ever the patients themselves, or do you recommend that somebody else set this up for them?
Typically, our site allows for three coordinators on each team, and what we see is that on the majority of the cases, one of those coordinators is the person with cancer or whatever the situation is, but they're not usually the primary coordinator. And like you said, it's so much easier to have someone else be that point person, to have that person be able to say, Susie doesn't need any meals this week, so please don't take them out of your good heart, you know.
Right, right.
And that coordinator can also be the person that can call up Aunt Jane and say, you know, she can't say, okay, look, Susie can't stand your casserole and she wants you to quit cooking for her, but she can diplomatically say, you know, Susie's got so much food, would you please help weed her flower beds instead? And it's better for the coordinator to be someone to do that. And when the team is already built and in place, it's just so wonderful if there does become a crisis situation or a very difficult challenge throughout treatment that everybody's already together and ready, and that coordinator is already the person that can be the point person for the patient.
Well, it's wonderful for people who are surrounded by friends and family or who have a lot of friends and family, even if they're not near. And I say people who do, because we certainly know that there are people who, unfortunately, their cancer experience is a little lonelier. And but for people who do have that kind of support and they're looking for ways to become more integrated and involved in the care of the patient, that's fantastic. We're really glad to know about your site and to let our listeners find out about it. Anything else you want to leave us with real quickly before we wrap up?
No, I just thank you very much for including me, and I'm just real glad to be part of this, and I'm
Absolutely.
Glad what you're doing.
And go PayPal. Go that PayPal part of your site. I just, you know, yo, folks, fundraise for your needs. I think that's
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Carol.
Nice chatting with you, Fran.
Thanks, Fran. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew. Bye.
All righty. Fran Kandrak. And, you know, just to wrap up tonight, again, yours truly, Jack Buford and Carol Rosenthal, the three of us.
Wait, is the yours truly me?
No, were I'm you... the yours truly.
Oh, I got excited for a second.
Oh, no. No, yours truly is a first-person euphemism.
I thought you were talking to yours truly as the whole audience.
Oh, I'm not that nice.
I belong to the whole audience.
Okay, fair enough. So, again, don't forget to check out Dr. Radio on Wednesday. Jack, you have the details?
Yes. For Sirius subscribers, it's channel 114. For XM, Dr. Radio is channel 119. And for those of you who are not satellite radio subscribers, you can listen online for free. And all you have to do is go to Sirius.com and follow the prompts for listening online and signing up for a free 3-day trial.
Well, there you go. So this Wednesday at noon to 2 p.m. Eastern time?
Noon to 2 is the live show. It replays Wednesday night from 10 to midnight and then from 2 to 4 on Sunday.
Man, you must have done this before. You know all this information.
I do.
Okay, fair enough. So be sure to check us out, yours truly. That would be me, Matthew Zachary, Jack Buford, and Carol Rosenthal on Dr. Radio, Sirius Satellite Dr. Radio this Wednesday. Thank you guys once again for an amazing broadcast, and I guess we'll see you on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
All right, Carol, have a safe flight to New York.
Thanks. Can't wait to see you guys.
All righty. Now it's time for our closing sequence.
Prepare to activate.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
And so, to all of you, a fond farewell.
Hooray, I'm helping.
You are a meathead.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
All right, folks. That's tonight's show. I hope you had as much fun as I did poking a stick at stupid cancer. I'd like to thank my guests, Daniel Schneiderman, Jane and AJ Ali, and Fran Kandrak. Next week, Chris Grundner, founder of the Kelly Hines Grundner Brain Tumor Foundation, Kelly McGonigal, Dr. Kelly McGonigal, and Haley Secco from the Yoga Bear Foundation. It's going to be a really great show, very innovative, interesting stuff going on. Same bat time, same bat channel, 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday nights, folks. Remember, if you missed any of our previous shows, you can listen to the archives at stupidcancer.com or subscribe to our podcast at iTunes by visiting iTunes at itunes.com or just search for Stupid Cancer in the iTunes store. Remember, if it's not stupid, not cancer. We'll see you back here next week, my friends, live from the chemo deck. Jack Buford, Carol Rosenthal, and I wish you all a phenomenal evening. Go to bed, Leah. Parker
out.
Out.
Won't hurt anymore.